listening to the Bug Bucks Podcast, hosted by Eric Bassett and Jake Klaus. Each week, they'll discuss ways to scale and grow your pest control company with a goal of helping you become a bug money millionaire.
But in terms of long-term profitability, what I'm saying is that that short-term abuse that you take from people when you're first starting out, you don't have to put up with that crap as your company grows and as your reputation grows and as you have like a steady stream of good customers that are coming in because you've built your reputation in the industry, you know, then you can say no to some of the lower paying, higher emotionally taxing customers.
Welcome to the Bug Bucks Podcast, a podcast designed to help you become a bug money millionaire. Today's episode is brought to you by Bug Bucks Plus, the number one course designed to help you start and grow your pest control company. I'm your host, Eric Bassett, and of course, got my main man, Jake Klaus, with me. What's up, dude?
Eric and my fellow Bug Bucksers, what's up?
Not too much, dude. It's been pretty awesome this week. Hopefully, you guys aren't going to be hearing any crazy little baby screams in the background. My son just hit 4 months.
Dude, has it been 4 months?
Yeah, Saturday, I think, dude.
Oh my gosh.
4 months already.
Oh my gosh.
So that's my big win for the week, was making it through the first 4 months of raising a baby.
I love it, dude.
I've done it before, but it's always crazy.
Right? It's a shock every time.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah.
So how about you, man? What's been going on with you this last week?
Well, you know what? My big win today. So, you know, my gym is my home gym. I have a Tonal at home. If you guys don't know what a Tonal is, look it up. But it's awesome. I don't have to leave the house and I get an awesome gym at my house. So Tonal tracks how much weight, how much cumulative weight you've lifted since you start since you start working out on Tonal. Tracks all these metrics. But actually this morning, it was back and biceps day today on my program, and I hit 5 million pounds total lifted pounds.
Dude, that's wild.
Yeah, I'm on a 94-week streak, so I haven't skipped a Tonal workout in 94 weeks. I'm looking forward to that 104-week streak, you know, the 2 years streak.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my big win today, 5 million. I'm at 5 million 5,000 and change pounds on Tonal.
Dude, 5,000. If anybody is listening and you guys also use a Tonal, go into the Facebook group and comment about this podcast episode.
Yeah.
Tell us how many pounds you're at.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
And then friend me on Tonal, because right now it's like me and my son, Jack, and I've got like one other friend on Tonal. I want to, like, I don't know, how's anybody else doing? How's everybody doing on Tonal?
That is freaking awesome.
Yep.
Well, great. Well, we've got a killer topic today. I'm going to have Jake introduce that here in just a second. But before he does, just want to remind everybody listening, the best way to receive new episodes is by subscribing to our show in your preferred podcast platform like Apple, Google, Audible, or Spotify. If you love the show, please leave us a rating and a review. If you haven't joined our Facebook group, go to Bug Bucks. It is BUGBUX. We've got over 4,000 other pest control owners in that group waiting to connect with you and share their thoughts. It's also the best way for you to share your feedback on our show and have your questions highlighted here on the podcast. So make sure you find us on Facebook and join the group. All right, Jake, tell the audience, what are we doing today?
Oh, it's going to be fun. Okay, so today Eric and I, we're playing a classic road trip game, business style. It's called Would You Rather. So I'm sure you're all familiar with Would You Rather. You're on a long car trip and you're bored and you say, okay, would you rather for the next year have an eyelash stuck in your eye or a hair on the tip of your tongue? And you got to choose, right? So we're going to play Would You Rather, but pest control business style. So I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to start with the first question and we'll take it from there. Okay, so would you rather, we're going to talk priorities here. Would you rather this year focus on retention or customer acquisition?
Ooh, you know me. I'm big into sales and marketing. I do love my new customer acquisition, but it's just so much more efficient to save existing customers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like to have to spend so much money on the customer acquisition game, and it's only getting more expensive to bring those new customers in, and then just to see them like walk out the door in another 6 to 12 months because your processes and your policies and everything sucks. And your retention is just horrible, dude. That's a knife in the heart.
It is, isn't it?
I just can't do it. Yeah. So I have to choose retention. If I could only pick one, I got to go with retention.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and I think that I'm with you on that at this stage in our business. I'm with you. However, having been a salesman for almost 20 years in the pest control space, I love the thrill of a new sale. So I love customer acquisition. I love bringing on new customers. But on the flip side of that coin, the pain in my heart every time a customer cancels. I have a hard time with that. So I would say if we were in like the first couple of years of our business, I would probably say customer acquisition, because then we can figure out our processes as we go. But at this stage in Natura's life cycle right here, I'd say retention. I agree with you on that.
Yep. No, I think that makes sense. All right, let me throw one out here for you.
Okay.
Comes with hiring technicians. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather hire experienced technicians, or focus on training and developing entry-level technicians?
Dude, you know what? Okay, so yeah, this is a two-edged sword for sure.
Indeed,
because
it is.
We have had, dude, I don't even know how many technicians we've had over the years. In fact, every once in a while, someone would be like, yeah, my brother used to work for you, or my so-and-so used to work for you. Oh yeah, what's his name? Steve. I'm like, right. Yeah. Oh, that guy, you know, like,
yep.
We've had so many technicians. I've completely forgotten about some of them. So here's what I've experienced with technicians. We've hired technicians that have had experience with other companies, and those technicians, not to a man, but for the most part, when we hire technicians that have had experience working for other pest control companies, especially big box pest control companies, it's like trying to mold granite sometimes, you know, like they're just so set in the ways, you know. We hired a guy one time that had worked for, I won't say the name, it's a big box pest control company, but he had a habit of spending about 3 minutes per customer, and he had a habit of parking in front of the house, walking up to the front door and looking around. And if the house looked good, he would get back in his car, write a service ticket, and then split. And that happened. It happened the first time, we were baffled. It happened the second time, we were like pissed. And then it happened the third time and he was gone. So on the one hand, you inherit the habits and the problems from previous companies. On the other hand, when you're training a brand new hire, you do have this whole process of like trying to get your process and your culture and all those things worked into this new employee. So for me, I'm going to say personally right now, I would take a new hire any day, because our process and our training is so dialed in that we can take anybody off the street who has even a lick of a work ethic, and we can get them up to our standard. I'd say fresh new hire, no experience.
Fresh newbie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm going to agree with you, because unless I find some guy, like if we're hiring for candidates, and some guy comes across the desk, you know, he's fully licensed, which is great, and maybe he worked for a previous pest control company, that might not necessarily be bad. But like, I'm going to need to really dig into some of the reasons why this guy's leaving. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, dude, unless you tell me the perfect answers, like, hey, like the culture that was there was bad for these reasons, and I'm looking for more leadership positions, and these are my personal philosophies on leadership and engagement, and like, dude, you got to have to tell me all the right answers. Otherwise, I'm going to assume that like things aren't working out for more reasons than just you don't like that company, right? And, you know, we've had technicians who we've taken, you know, quote unquote, taken from other pest control companies because of those reasons, you know, like we had a better opportunity for them, and that's kind of worked out. But same problems I think you're going to run into, like you described, more often than not, where technicians are going to bring in bad habits that are really hard to train out of them. And you end up beating your head against that scenario where they're like, well, at this company, this is how we did it. And you're like, we're not at that company anymore, my guy. Yeah. we got to make adjustments, you know? When you put a lot of the time and effort into training a guy from him being brand new, at least you know that anything that he currently knows or what he's doing, like, that's something that you taught him, right? That's something that can be managed and corrected based on your onboarding process, versus you never know when something weird is going to pop up from who knows what he was taught by whoever. So I don't want to say that I like, it's a total pass for me. Like if we're hiring and I see some candidate that comes, you know, across my desk who has licensing and experience and he's from another company, he'll probably still get an interview. but that interview better be good.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you know, the other part of that too is how many times you interview a guy from another that worked for another pest control company or companies, right? Plural. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, why'd you leave your last company? Oh, my manager was a jerk. Oh, okay. Well, why'd you leave the company before that? Oh, the boss was a total jerk. And you're sitting there like, oh, well, guess who I am? I'm the next jerk that's going to be the reason why you leave the job, right? I feel like Taylor Swift, you know, like, you look like my next mistake. You know, it's like, I don't want to be your next mistake, dude. You know, we can move on.
We obviously specifically mentioned technicians in the original question. I would say that, you know, if it comes to office staff, like having experience when it comes to hiring new office staff members could be really beneficial. That's awesome. Training office staff from spanking brand new, like they have no experience, is a different scenario than training a technician who has no experience as a technician.
Sure. Yep.
I'll throw that one out there as a caveat for anybody listening who's thinking about other positions in the company. But yeah, I think you're not on the same page technician-wise anyway.
Okay, next. I got the next one. Okay. Would you rather expand your product or service offering or stick with what you know?
Oh, if you guys are watching the YouTube version of this, you can see all the crinkles in my forehead because these questions, dude. Okay. I struggle with this a lot because, and me and Jake have drawn this diagram before, like we have like a little target where you have like kind of a bullseye and you make these rings around it. And in the middle of the target, you write what you're good at, right? Like GPC, like general pest control. And then you write all this other stuff outside of that, like crawl space work and trapping wildlife and all this other stuff.
Garden guard.
Yes, right? The garden guard stuff. And like, it's so tempting for me, like in order for me to feel comfortable expanding into something else, it has to check so many different boxes for logistical and financial and resources and all these other things in order for me to want to expand into it. I'm pretty slow to like taking a risk on doing like a new product lineup or a new service lineup when I know what kind of ROI I can get from what I'm doing like currently, right? We looked at doing specialized types of treatments and figured out pretty quickly that, oh, well, wait a second. If we're only having that specialized treatment on one or two rigs, then all of a sudden those one or two rigs become the bottleneck of when we can do these services, right? Versus, like, I remember I worked for a pest control company that added, it was like
home service,
barely adding, it was like turf treatments. When we worked at Gemtech, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it was when Brent and Joel were like, hey, we want to kind of just treat for these bill bugs that damage the lawn, right? And so we're just adding this granule treatment into our service. And it literally was like a perfect match because you could put it in a handheld spreader the same way you would put any other granule, right? And you can do it while you're there. I think you had to have ornamental licensing, which most of the guys had right at the time. And so it was like a perfect fit. But like when you ask me things like wildlife trapping, I cringe and I'm like, I can't do it, dude.
Well, it's the one-time services that are tricky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I gave a really vague, indirect answer, but if I had to choose between one, I would probably focus on the thing that I know that I'm good at.
Okay. Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that, unless, of course, we're talking about taking something that we kind of already sort of do and then expanding it into another like contracted offering, right? Or a new like standalone offering. For example, mosquitoes, you know, like offering mosquito service because there's a lot of mosquitoes around here and we kind of did it, you know, but now that we're offering standalone mosquito service, that makes sense. But jumping into something like housekeeping or something, you know, house cleaning or something else, I would stick with our wheelhouse on that one.
I'm with you there. I gotcha.
Okay. All right. Shoot. Next one.
All right. Let's do what's better. Would you rather focus on like short-term profitability or go with the option that's going to be more sustainable for your business long-term? More money now versus sustainability. What do you think?
You know, I think that I am wizened enough. Does that mean what I think it means? Maybe not. I am whizzed. I have sufficiently whizzed. I'm wise. Maybe is what I'm trying to say. I have the benefit of years of experience. So I see the long term and I'm not as easily swayed or drawn in by the shiny thing that's right in front of me. So I have learned the art of delaying instant gratification for long-term benefits. So for me, if we're talking about company growth, profitability. I'm looking down the road instead of right in front of me. So I would say for sure, long-term sustainability.
I think I'm right with you there too. And like, maybe this is a good question for people that are really planning on selling their business. You know what I mean? And I assume like most of the guys that we talk to that we have on the podcast are trying to grow long-term. But it is an actual business strategy to build a pest control company to sell to, you know, one of the big box stores, right? Especially with the multiples on acquisitions these days. I mean, you never know, right? But yeah, for me, and obviously you and I have talked about this before, we're in for the long haul. So I would definitely go for long-term sustainability over short-term profitability.
100%. And I think too, it also depends on where you are in your business. If you're just starting out, then yeah, you're grabbing what you can, you're leveraging debt, you know, you're taking risks. And not that you stop taking risks and stop doing those things as your company grows, but the focus does kind of shift, right? You know, it's like having kids. When your kids are babies, you're focused on the right here and now, keeping them alive and keeping yourself sane. Like that's really what you're focused on. But then as they start getting older, you're like, you know, yeah, I'm not necessarily as worried about the right now. I'm thinking about their college fund. I'm thinking about yada, yada for their future and so on.
I was actually having a conversation with another group of PCOs, and the topic kind of came up where they were talking about, you know, wood destroying insects and doing reports and all this other stuff. And it circled into like customers not making their payments, right? And like whether or not to like take the risk with a customer who can't pay right away, especially on like big jobs, knowing that they might pay later, right? Like how do you balance that? And I think the ending theme that I shared was, you know, in the beginning, you do business with customers that you have to, so that later on you can do business with customers that you want to.
Yep.
And that kind of echoes exactly what you were saying, you know, in the beginning, whatever you can do, man, auto pay, not auto pay, doesn't matter. Oh, you want pest control? I'm sure. Payment plan? Why not? Let's do it. You know, all those things aren't really sustainable and eventually logistically they're going to come back and bite you. But in the beginning, dude, you have to do it, right? You kind of have no other choice. And then later on, you kind of aim for sustainability where you kind of say no to some of those situations, even though it's kind of shiny and you want to say yes, you're like, that's not really sustainable for me.
Oh, totally. Yeah. When we first started, you know, we have these customers that you put up with a certain amount of abuse from customers, so to speak, you know, it's like, wow, I really don't want to go back out to so-and-so's house because dude, that lady's a piece of work and she treats me like crap, but she pays back then, whatever, $99 once every 3 months. And so, gosh, wow. I need this business, right? And then it's cool because then you get to a point where this lady calls in and she's like, I'm so mad at you, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's like the 25th call that you've taken with this lady. And then she says, I'm going to cancel. And you're like, okay. And she's like, wait. You're not going to try to save me? No, not if you're going to act like that, you know? We've even had customers that have called in, like male customers, right? That have berated the office staff and use language that's just not acceptable, right? Then you go back and you listen to the call and you're like, oh, yeah, cancel that guy. My people do not need that abuse. Yeah, you're out of here. I know that's a little off topic from what we were talking about. But in terms of long-term profitability, what I'm saying is that short-term abuse that you take from people when you're first starting out, you don't have to put up with that crap as your company grows and as your reputation grows and as you have like a steady stream of good customers that are coming in because you built your reputation in the industry, you know, then you can say no to some of the lower paying, higher emotionally taxing customers.
Yes, 100%. Okay, was that my question or your question? No, I've lost where we are. Your question.
I asked.
You're up, right?
Yes. And this is kind of an extension of that same question. So, would you rather stay out of debt or leverage debt for growth?
Oh, man. Okay. So, here's what's crazy. In the beginning of my like professional journey, if you want to call it that, I would have been like, oh, dude, stay out of debt. That's the way to go. Like, stay away from having to pay interest, yada, 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 right? And now I am completely a fan of leveraging debt. and trying to figure out where you can kind of have the most liquid assets to get the best ROI. It's wild, you know, and it takes a little bit of perspective and it takes some capital to kind of to make it work the way that you want it to. I'll put it that way, right? But total side topic, right? I was having a conversation with my mother-in-law and she was talking about wanting to buy a car. And they have all this money saved up. They've got whatever it is, $35,000 saved up. And she's like, we barely have just enough to just buy this car with cash, right? Just buy it outright. And I'm like, why do you want to do that? And she's like, well, that's just the way that we always do things. Like, we don't like to be in debt. You know, we don't want that kind of hanging over our heads. And we want to just pay in cash and have our assets. And I said, okay, so, you know, if you pay that $35,000, all of a sudden it's gone, right? You have a car, but you have no more liquid assets, right? You have no more liquid money. What happens if something comes up where you need money, right? The best thing you can do is go to a payday loan place and leverage the title on your vehicle, which you don't want to do, right? Where the interest that you're paying is essentially giving you the flexibility to keep your liquid money and use it for other things that are important and to buy other assets, which if you do it right, can make you money and earn you capital, right? So it's something that I think generationally speaking is kind of working its way out, you know? So yeah, long story short, I would rather leverage debt. That's me.
Yeah. And I love this question because it's the two opposing philosophies, right? It's the Dave Ramsey versus the Robert Kiyosaki, you know? Do you pay off your credit cards and pay cash for everything? Or do you leverage debt to make more money? And so, you know, I think that there was a time likely very early on in our marriage where it probably made more sense financially for us as a couple to follow more of like the Dave Ramsey, pay off your debt, cancel your credit cards, pay cash for everything mentality. And that works for a lot of people because a lot of people don't know how to use credit cards and they don't know how to leverage debt. So if you're the kind of person that doesn't know how to leverage debt, then for sure, pay off your credit cards, cut them up. Or what was the old trick? You stick your credit card in a block of water and freeze it in the freezer.
Oh.
So,
emergencies, you have to wait for it to thaw.
Yeah. So if you want to spend your credit card, if you want to spend money on your credit card, you have to wait for it to thaw out so you can really think it through, right?
It's a legitimate cooling off period.
right? Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But as a business owner, does that work? Or as a business owner who's bringing in revenue for your business, can you learn how to leverage the debt to make more money? You know, and this might be a good episode for us to do later on. Like, we're not financial with the asterisk caveat, you know, we're not financial planners. We're not financial advisors. It's just some food for thought, you know, but that would probably be a good episode.
Yeah, that could be an awesome episode because I know there's a lot of PCOs out there and I've seen it in the Facebook group, right? Like guys will be like, hey, this is my company size. I'm debt free. I want to grow, but I don't want to like get into debt. And I'm like, buddy, you're missing out on a huge part of growth here. Anyway, we can, yeah, we'll dive into it in another episode, but that's a,
yeah, that'd be good.
Fantastic topic.
Yeah.
So sweet. Let's see, my turn. All right. So I don't think we've asked this one already. Would you rather focus on like the immediate geographical area that you already service and try to just get as much out of it as you can? Or are you the type of person who would rather expand into new markets and kind of expand that geographical bubble?
Man, that's a
that's a tough one.
That's a tough question. That's a thought-provoking question. Okay, so yep. All right. Well, let me just start out by saying this. So I love our market and we have a ton of room to grow in our market. There's what, 3.5 million people here in our market. It's a lot of people. Just like every market, people need pest control, so it's good. I think that maybe for me, it comes down to a couple of factors. Are we using factors or is this just gut reaction?
Throw in some factors.
I'm going to go factors. Okay, so for me, here's a couple of the factors. Are my inbound leads, is that stream starting to run dry or run shallow because I'm reaching the top side of my marketing effectiveness? Mm-hmm. If so, and a market analysis says that, you know, that's kind of just what the market is doing right now, and it might be that way for the next little bit, then I would say, all right, well, let's perhaps look into expanding out, but close by, right? So that we can still service that new market from our existing market. Maybe we have to travel a little bit, maybe once or twice a week, but we can still manage everything centrally. So that's where I would go. But on the other hand, I do have that manifest destiny type of, I can't say Columbus, but
conquer.
Yeah, go and conquer, you know, like that, go out into the world and conquer the world kind of mentality. So there is something incredibly, like excruciatingly exciting to me about going out, getting into a new market, you know, building that brand and expansion. That's really exciting to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, like going out and putting your mark in the world somewhere that like your brand normally isn't, like having that seen by fresh eyes, you know, like we spend so much time on our branding and building a really awesome company culture. And it's really hard not to like want to take that other places. You know what I mean? But I also appreciate where you're coming from when you said lead volume, right? Like actually using some hard data-driven metrics right there. I love that. You know, if you're focused big on digital marketing, and you should be able to see your leads continue to increase in volume year over year as your brand awareness increases, as the amount of reviews you have increase, as the number of customers you have increases and they refer other customers, right? So organically, your lead volume should be going up year over year. But eventually, if it kind of caps out and that doesn't happen, you know, or even starts kind of like going down, I think it'd be really hard not to look at some other outlying areas. And if you're really lucky, you've got like small other little towns and stuff. Like in our market, we have some key strategic areas that we can go and expand to when that time comes. So we're kind of lucky. But if you're the type of person who like your next big area that makes sense to go to is like 2 hours away, I don't know. It's a dicey decision.
Remember when we were working for Gemtech way back in the day? Mm-hmm. And Gemtech, just for our listeners, Gemtech was a Boise-based company, Boise, Idaho. The owners would send us on these blitzes, right? So they would send us to blitzes to these towns that were like an hour and a half to 2 hours away. We'd go to Twin Falls. Mm-hmm. We'd go to Sun Valley. We'd go to McCall, kind of some of these like outlying towns. And they'd send us there for a few days and they'd pay for a hotel. And if you sold X number of accounts, they'd pay for your dinner that night. So there's all these incentives. And it was fun. I mean, we've got a lot of memories of going on these blitzes up to McCall, knocking doors in these little mountain towns, selling a bunch of accounts. And it was cool because we were able to actively like build routes for Gemtech in these outlying communities. And they could send a guy up there. He'd spend a day, service all those accounts, and then come back. So that was how they kind of expanded their branch without expanding the branch, so to speak.
Dude, I'd say that if you are a company that utilizes door-to-door, you have a lot more flexibility between these two options, right? Because like expanding into a market just based with digital marketing where you have no brand awareness there or brand recognition, that's rough. But door-to-door has brand recognition built in. Guy knocks on the door, you open it, and hey, I'm with so-and-so, right? Local company, this is what we do. So door-to-door could be a big advantage for people who are in that debacle. You know, do I expand or do I focus on my existing area? Okay, dude. So we're running short on time. We're going to go lightning round.
Okay.
We've got some topics. I'm going to zip through these.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So first one, shoes on or off in the house?
Oh, sandals. I don't let my bare feet touch the floors of my house. Are you kidding? I have four kids and a dog and I live in the woods. Sandals, always.
Sandals, always. I wear my shoes on in the house way too often and my wife always is super concerned about it. She's like, where are you going? Are you leaving me? Like, what's happening? And I'm like, no, it helps me feel productive when I have my shoes on and it's super confusing for her. So yeah.
Yeah,
so
first thing on. I do when I get home is I take off my pants, put on shorts and sandals. Or not, they're not sandals, they're... What are they? Jerusalem Cruisers or the slides, right? You know, the River Jordans.
Yes, you know what I'm talking River Jordans.
Yeah, those
dude,
Hawaiian slide shoes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Next one. Early riser or night owl? What do you got?
Oh, I am a reluctant night owl that wants to be an early riser. I live in a constant state of conflict. I want to wake up at 5 a.m., but I also enjoy staying up till midnight. So,
dude. My brain is night owl 100%. Like if I just let it work and continue to do stuff, it'll stay up till 2 a.m. and it has no problem with it. Super productive. My body wants to be an early riser. Like it needs to have that consistency. If I sleep in, I feel like I got hit by a semi. So like I said, that a conflicted.
Productive wise, I don't actually get productive, like mentally work productive until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So
nice. Yeah.
Okay, next.
Blow dry or air dryer here?
Oh, dude, blow dry. I blow dry. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. You got a head of hair like this.
Are you guys watching? You guys think it's air dry hair? No, that's not going to happen.
No.
Okay.
Although I do wear a baseball cap.
Oh, that's true.
There's like 4 days after a fresh haircut. I make Jana cut my hair every 2 weeks. There's like 4 days afterwards where I don't wear a hat. And then after that, it's just, I'm just drawn to it. I can't help it.
Yep. Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, actually, we did a side-by-side study. Can't tell the difference. So I like the appearance of me drinking Coke, but really they both taste the same.
Dude, crazily enough, post-COVID, Coke and Pepsi are different for me.
Really?
One of them, yeah, Pepsi, I can't do Pepsi. I can do Coke though. But yeah, before that, I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. They taste exactly the same. And I'm sure people are losing their minds right now listening to this.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, here's a controversial one. Was OJ innocent or guilty?
Oh, guilty.
Guilty for
sure. He had a great lawyer, but I think he was guilty. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely, he did it for sure. Tacos or burgers? You can only pick one, desert island style.
Taco.
Taco?
Yeah, 1,000%, yeah. Dude.
Taco.
Yeah, in fact, it's part of my life creed is that there are few problems in the world that can't be solved by just stopping and eating a taco.
Eating a taco, dude.
Or an ice cream 100%. Cone. But yeah, taco.
Yeah. Cardio or weightlifting?
Oh, lifting.
Lifting for sure. Yep, 100%. This one. Metallica or the Beatles?
Oh, Metallica. Are you kidding me?
It's got to be Metallica, dude.
Plus, there's a rumor that the Beatles are communists, so Metallica for sure. Dude. Yeah, nope.
Definitely. Okay, top sheet or no top sheet on the bed?
No top sheet. I do not want to be tangled up as I sleep in my bed.
Really? I'm a top sheet guy. I feel weird when there's not a top sheet between me and the comforter, you know?
Now, I'll wash the comforter. I like to keep it simple. Yeah.
Pants or shorts?
Pants outside of the house, shorts in the house.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I never go out of my house wearing shorts, even the summertime.
I think 50 to 75% of the time I'm wearing workout stuff. If I'm not at the office, I almost always wear pants.
Unless it's 100 degrees outside, then shorts are permissible.
Yep. That's fair. Let's see here. Oh, aliens, real or fake?
Oh, totally real. Are you kidding me? Dude, during COVID, when everybody was so focused on COVID, then the government was like, oh, here's a good time. Oh, by the way, aliens are real. Here's all the footage. And then all conspiracy theorists are like, wait a minute. What are they hiding by saying that aliens are real?
Dude, I go back and forth on this so much. Like, part of me, like, I go full circle where it's like, first, I think I'm a conspiracy theorist because I don't believe in aliens.
Yeah.
Then I think I'm a conspiracy theorist because I do believe in aliens.
Yeah. You can't win.
And I just keep going all the way around.
Yeah. Know? I want it to be true. I'll leave it at that. I want there to be aliens.
Sometimes I think aliens are just too smart. They like fly by the earth and they're like, okay, are the earthlings ready for us to touch down yet? Do you think they're mature enough? And then they like look and see what's happening and they're like, no, dude, we should leave. Let's get out of here.
Okay. The next logical extension of that, Bigfoot, real or not real?
Real, for sure.
Real, for sure.
Bigfoot's real. I'm real on that one.
Yep. Got to be.
Yeah. We're in the Pacific Northwest. He's real.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Okay. LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
Do you even have to ask the question? Michael Jordan is the GOAT.
Michael Jordan, for sure.
Yeah, yep. Jordan.
Okay, dude. So we are definitely out of time. We have more on this list. If you guys like the lightning round of the this or that or our would you rathers, make sure you leave us some comments on the Facebook group. And of course, if you have any managers or owners or colleagues that would enjoy listening to this episode, the best way to say thank you to us is to share this episode with them. Of course, it is brought to you by BugBucks Plus, the number one course designed to help you grow and scale your pest control company. And until next time, keep building those companies. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bug Bucks podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please show your support by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating. Thank you, and we'll catch you on next week's episode.